My guests today are Marilyn March. She is the executive director of the Women's Fund, as well as Christina Francois, the campaign manager for See Her Vote. And I thought it was so important to have these two ladies on today because obviously we are in an election year. But, you know, people are going to be going to the primaries in August and then again to the general election in November. And it's just so important. So thank you, ladies, for joining me. And Marilyn, tell us a little bit about the Women's Fund.
Well, the Women's Fund was started 23 years ago by five women, $5,000. They ended up giving that out to five different organizations. It was right after Hurricane Andrew. Since that time, the Women's Fund has given out over $2.7 million to 480 different programs, very gender-specific to women and girls. We also focus on four major areas regarding women: freedom of violence, economic security, leadership, and healthcare. We've also been very involved in the community with the program called See Her, not See Her Vote. That's the one we're talking about today. Stop Sex Trafficking Miami. We started in 2008, bringing that information to the community, and very proud to say that we've received two awards, and partnering with the state attorney to really bring awareness to this event. But as I mentioned before, we recently kicked off See Her Vote, which our staff and our board gave it a lot of thought last year, thought it was really important for us to be involved in getting women out to vote, that women do make a difference and can make a difference. So that's where we are today.
So Christina, when you were asked to be a part of this program, why did you decide to say yes to this?
So I definitely thought this was a great opportunity to make an impact, because there is a lot of disenchantment with politics and distrust of local governments. And one of the things that is really unique about this campaign is the fact that we are focusing on women, particularly working women. And there are so many barriers to women participating in the political process. There still isn't equal representation in government. And we now know that single women are the rising electorate. We are going to change the face of policy and politics in America, and what better time to start than right now?
And truly right now, because we have what is presumably going to be the first woman presidential candidate. And, you know, there are so many people out there that have pros and cons on that. But just the fact that we've even gotten this far to where a woman is, you know, getting this honor to be president possibly of the United States, when it hadn't been done before in 240 years. We just celebrated our 240th birthday. Mm-hmm. How important is it for young girls to see something like this happen?
I think that it's going to make a big difference when you have little girls growing up knowing that it's something that's possible. Luckily, there are a lot of young women, particularly college-aged and millennials and beyond, that see this as a chance of a lifetime. They never expected to see this, and so they're energized just and listening to the conversation a little bit closer.
And so you all, with the See Her Vote campaign, are targeting certain areas in Miami-Dade County, and trust me, we need it here in Broward as well, but you are starting in Miami-Dade County. Tell us a little bit about those areas and what you're trying to do to get that outreach to them.
Well, we, after much research and debate, we decided to focus on the Miami Gardens Opa-locka area in North Dade and the Homestead Florida City area in the south end of Miami-Dade County, and those for a number of reasons. The first being that there is a large number of women registered voters. However, they're also home to the two precincts with historically the lowest voter turnout, looking back to 2000. So every single election since 2000, they've had the two worst precincts in terms of voter turnout. And so we are, number one, curious as to why, but also we think that we can really make a big impact if we take the time to have really meaningful conversations at people's doors, in people's communities, in people's churches, to get to help people overcome whatever barriers they may have. So one of the things that we're looking at is having community forums where we're going to go through the process. There's a lot of misinformation about, you know, oh, I don't think I'm still registered because historically in the past 8 years we've had people getting kicked off of voter rolls, or oh, now I have to bring an ID, or you know, I may not have the valid form of ID, or you know, they had eliminated the number of early voting sites, and so it's not convenient for me anymore. And there's a whole other way to vote, which is voting by mail, which a whole bunch of people don't know about. So we really want to take the time to educate voters, and also, you know, energize them and let them see that they have the opportunity to make a big impact on not just what's happening at the top of the ticket with the presidential race, which is historic, but also the state and local level elections where policymakers are impacting their child's lives, their daily lives, and their quality of life.
And that's, I think, what a lot of people don't realize, that, yeah, it's this local that is making the decision that's going to affect you and what's happening in your household. So therefore, you need to get out and vote, and your vote does matter. It does count. Every vote counts. We've seen that before, yeah, where someone wins an election by, you know, a margin of 500 votes. Well, if they had gotten 501 right, more people to come out, mm-hmm, they would have won, you know? So it's
exactly
definitely important.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of our issues when we first started looking at this as a woman growing up in Miami and not really understanding and knowing who to vote for at different times in my lifetime. So we are doing research. We have canvassed over 80 candidates to get their view on women's issues, pay equity, healthcare equity, child care, those kind of issues. So we have found, I think, in some of our research that women don't vote because, first of all, they don't think their vote matters, number one. And number two, that they can't make a difference. But number three is that they really don't
know
what to believe.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
They are confused. They don't know. I mean, I myself, as a 67-year-old woman growing up in Miami, knowing really who to vote for sometimes is confusing.
Yeah.
So this information tool that we're putting together through reaching out to the candidates to find out what their platform is and what they stand for will help women to really understand if they vote for this person, this is what they believe.
And hold them accountable for that as well,
exactly,
Marilyn, because once you get in office, if you say you're going to do this, then you better do it or else you will be out of this office in 4 years because I'm not going to vote for
exactly
you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the other issues that the Women's Fund deals with, because you mentioned freedom of violence, economic freedom, healthcare and leadership, and then also the sex trafficking, because believe it or not, people don't realize South Florida is like a gateway for that.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Number three. The state of Florida is number three.
Wow.
Sex trafficking has become a major industry. Back in the 80s, there were a lot of drug dealers that dealt in drugs, and they would buy their drugs and sell them. A lot of those individuals have moved off of drugs and are now selling children and women for sex. They don't have to buy the drugs. They reuse them over and over. The statistics tell us that one pimp makes anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 a year on one girl.
Wow. And it doesn't have to be someone who, you know, has fallen out of society. Because I think that's what,
yeah,
a lot of people think, that it's, you know, it's a certain person or a certain look that they may have to have. You all, I'm sure, are finding that's not true.
No, a large majority of the girls that are involved in sex trafficking, the average age is 13. They're from lost families. They're kind of our lost children. A lot of children that have been in the foster care dependency system, the runaways that disappear, girls, they're very, the traffickers are very skilled at looking at
the vulnerable
going
ones.
To a, mm-hmm. Yeah, the vulnerable population, the girls. The stat is something like within the first 48 hours of a child running away, I think it's between 3 or 4 out of the 7 will be approached by a trafficker.
Wow.
So they go to the malls, they look for the girls, they know to where to look to find them. They provide them with, you know, safety, a purse, their hair done, you know, it's a whole manipulative and becomes a trauma bond issue.
Wow. And they've got to know that, you know, nothing in life is free. That's what my mother's
exactly.
been telling me that for life. So if the,
right.
you get a purse, you get some shoes, you get your hair done, you know,
that's
there's
right.
nothing is free.
No.
Freedom of violence, that's also a very important one for the Women's Fund because, again, we hear of so many incidences happening, particularly here in South Florida, that deal mm-hmm. with domestic violence. Tell us a little bit about that
yeah.
one.
Well, we've been, that was really one of our main focuses back many years before I was here with the domestic violence issue. And unfortunately, there was over 10,000 cases of reported domestic violence in 2015. The numbers are going up. The stress in the communities due to economic security, whatever, the economic problems, of course, reflect and create more domestic violence issues. So we funded many different organizations that help with that. One of my most favorite ones is Project Dove, which does a funding through the Miami-Dade Police Department,
mm-hmm.
which actually does education on domestic violence. We've also helped many of the shelters at different levels. A lot of homeless women end up, or domestic violence victims end up homeless. We started the first shower program at Camilla's house, I think, 12 years ago. 12 years ago, there was no shower that a woman that was homeless could go to. And so we funded, and Camilla started an amazing program where women could come in off the street and could get a shower and clean clothes and whatever they needed. And so we funded some really amazing programs. I misquoted before. It wasn't 2.7, it's 3.7 million.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That we've given away. Yeah,
wow.
That was, yeah. So it's been, and a lot of small grants, a lot of ones that, you know, would never have gotten started. We helped Casa Valentina get started. We helped Lotus House get their foot in the door and get off and running. One of my most favorite stories, I think, to share is I've been here 4 years, and when I first came on board, we were looking for someone to speak at our Power of the Purse, which is our big event that we do every year, 1,000 women, all kinds of purses. This year, next year, it's going to be in March at the Bank United Center. But anyway, we were looking for someone to share their story, and we met a woman who was working at the farmer's market in Coconut Grove. And she was about 27 years old, and she was sharing her story that as a child, at 4 years old, her mother passed away. Her father remarried, pretty much the wicked stepmother. The father disappeared. She was sexually abused by her stepbrother, ran away at 12, was selling drugs. By the time she was 16, she became trafficked
mm-hmm.
and was with a trafficker for 10 years. She was brought to Miami, and she stole something for him, and she was prosecuted. He went free, and she went to jail. She went to a program that had just started that we had started funding called the Mustard Seed Project, and we funded them $1,250 down at Agape Transitional Center down in Gould to start an organic gardening project. And with that money, they started organic gardening, and they started selling them at farmers market. And she shared with us that for the first time in her life, she was selling something beside herself.
Wow.
So for a very small amount of money, when you think of the, you know,
the investment.
The investment. And so we've continued to fund them. And now they have 7 acres of vegetables. They also are doing a tree farm. They're doing libraries. They're working in the inner city. So it's just amazing what a small amount of money and one person's idea, Margaret McCaffrey, came up with this to do this, and how it's really transitioning lives. So,
well, that's what you guys do with the Women's Fund.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Transform lives. And I wanted to get in here. How can people get in touch with the See Her Vote campaign, Christina, because, you know, obviously if you want them to come and speak at your church or speak at your women's organization, how can they get that information?
Well, they can. The first thing they can do is visit our website. And if you see what we do, there's a See Her Vote tab. And what I did was I actually listed all of our upcoming volunteer opportunities on there. And so there's a volunteer link if they would like to do that. And there's also my email address, which is krystina@womensfundmiami.org.
Okay, and that's the website. Go ahead.
That's the website.
Right.
And they can also call our office at 305-441-0506 if people don't have access to the internet or email. We're happy to just give us a call and we'll be able to help them and direct them.
Sounds good. All right. www.womensfundmiami.org. That's the website. And of course, if you would like to get more involved, go to the website, get more information, or you can call 305-441-0506. Thank you so much to Marilyn March, the Executive Director of the Women's Fund, as well as Christina Francois, the Campaign Manager for See Her Vote. We certainly want all women. We want everybody to go out and vote, but just all women who are eligible to vote, please go out and do so. Thank you so much, ladies. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.